I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Mahani Jahangiri, and welcome to Conversations with My Dog.
Today's guest is Adrian Hartwick, owner of Shorthand Writing Services and huge dog lover with years of ownership and training under her belt. She has written a number of blogs and articles based on pet care and wildlife, and for each post, had to conduct an outstanding amount of research to ensure the information is clear and correct, allowing her to gain a lot of knowledge regarding all domestic animals, their behavior, and nature. She grew up with dogs and cats and now lives with two Swedish Vallhunds and a small flock of ducks. Now, it is such an honor to welcome Adrian on the show today.
Thank you.
Well, let's go straight into basically your background. You've been a blogger for a long time, or you've been writing about animals for a while now?
Yes, I do a lot of posts for a website called Dog Owner. And that's where most of my animal writing is published.
It's fascinating because you have done such incredible, extensive research on what specifically dogs do for us in terms of mental health. But you, so oftentimes when I read articles or posts, people say, or even myself, when I say, oh, dogs are really good for your mental health, or they're really good for your well-being, we never go into the nitty-gritty part exactly of really how they help us. And also, what is mental health? And when I read your blog, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. You've broken down absolutely every condition, but also the ones that we didn't know about as well. It's fascinating. And I was like, oh my God, she knows what I've got. Because I could talk about mental health forever. Having suffered with mental health for over 22 years, actually, with general anxiety disorder, which then now is diagnosed as an emotional bipolar or borderline personality disorder, and then it's an emotional thing. And it's ongoing. First it was depression, then they changed it to general anxiety disorder. Then, I mean, the diagnoses are unbelievable. And yet I still have it after 22 years. So nothing's changed there. You can't actually get over a mental health issue, I think. Is that true? How do you feel about this?
I mean, I would agree with you. As someone who suffers from their own sort of cocktail of mental health issues, you could say, it's something that you learn to manage. It's not something that ever goes away completely.
Mm, absolutely. And when you say manage, what entails managing?
I mean, I'm a strong believer in medication. I think that it's a lifesaver for many, including myself. You know, it helps us to regulate our lives and get things under control. But, you know, also making sure to take care of yourself. You know, for example, walking my dogs, that's the highlight of my day. That's where everything becomes more peaceful.
Absolutely. Everything slows down. And it's interesting that you're mentioning medication, because I've always said, I mean, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a yoga teacher since 25 years. And every time people would come, you know, after a session, they would come up to me and talk about their problems. I would say, you know, are you taking medication? And they're like, no. And I was like, well, I do. And they're like, what? But you're a yogi. I said, no, I take medication. I take consistently the same medication to keep myself in check, because I wouldn't be able to survive without that medication. It would be impossible. And they're shocked when I confess to them as a yogi that I need support, medical support. It's almost frowned upon. It's still a taboo. And I notice with a lot of people, they go, yeah, I tried natural remedies, vitamin B6, B12, and all that. And I'm like, oh, guys, just go to your GP and just say you are not feeling well. And it's quite chronic, because when it becomes chronic, it could be too late. And they're shocked. I mean, exactly. I worked for Planet Organic for a whole year, and I have almost diagnosed people on the shop floor that would come trying to buy every bloody health supplement to get rid of their anxiety. And I looked at them and I go, have you been to the GP? And they're like, no, magnesium. And I was like, but really, how's your sleep? Oh, it's bad. Do you have anxiety? Do you get panic attacks? Yeah. How did you know? I know. And literally, I was diagnosed. I shouldn't have diagnosed them. But I pretty much felt when somebody was getting to that point where it's not just a little mild tension, you know. And obviously, we all know now during the pandemic that so much mental health issues have happened. I mean, so many people are now mentally unwell that may have not even understood that they have mental health problems. It's like they're only realizing now that they've got this condition, you know?
I strongly agree with you on the medication thing. It's so stigmatized, you know, and I'm not a hugely open person with my mental health, but I do try to, you know, let people know that I do take medication, because it's not something that should be kept secret or kept on the back shelf, you know, away from everyone else. It's something that people should be talking about, you know, so that we can reduce that stigma, so people actually go out and seek the help that they need. Definitely with lockdown, you know, there has been a huge increase in mental unwellness, and it's awful. And I'm sure a lot of these people, they probably had, you know, perhaps mild symptoms before, and it's only been made worse by the consistent isolation. And as a result, you know, the backlog of people that are looking for support, a lack of support, and the lack of funding behind that.
It is absolutely awful, the system. I have never seen so much neglect in mental health. I mean, they really didn't think about it with this pandemic, that how many people will be needing help. And maybe face-to-face help, maybe a support group, you know, where they can be with like-minded people. And Mind hasn't got the charity Mind. They have nothing to offer. They've got nothing left to offer. The charities are completely overwhelmed. GPs are overwhelmed. You know, and everything's reduced to Zoom. And you're left with paying for a private one-to-one on Zoom with a therapist. And I feel therapists are making a trackless bucket load of money from people with mental health issues at the moment. I don't think this is correct that people have to resort to paying for themselves one-to-ones now on Zoom to understand their depression.
It
has been not taken care of, that part. Oh my God. At least before the pandemic, we had groups. We had support groups. You even had 12 steps where you can meet as a group. You know, there's bubbles, meetings, coffee meetings. You could find that, you know, just something. But now this online thing, does it work for you? Do you take advantage of online therapy?
I have to say, therapy is one of those things that I've always found so difficult. I suppose because I've been through so many therapists and they never seem to truly understand. I see them and it's like, you know, they're only half focused on you and your issues. It's like their mind's somewhere else. I did find an incredible therapist a few years ago, and she was exceptional. But unfortunately, I only got a couple of sessions with her because her father unfortunately passed away and she stopped practicing. And I suppose since then, I haven't found anyone that was quite like her, that I was so comfortable around.
It is unbelievable, isn't it? Getting the right therapist, the person that is the right person for your condition. I've been in Freudian group analysis for 12 years. Group analysis, it's very good for this borderline personality thing that I have, which is, you know, when you are a bit up and down because you don't understand yourself in a context of a larger environment. So when you go to work, you might sabotage things and everything in a group. You put the attention on you first, then the other person. It's so complex, but it has helped me so much. And it gave me quite a lot of stability being in a once weekly group. Obviously, you know, you're there and you show up and then you leave. And unfortunately, in the pandemic, Jesus Christ, what happened? The whole thing went on Zoom. And I almost derailed. I could not believe that this group has become pixels. And then, of course, the group leader, who's the mothership, who we, you know, becomes the Freudian mother, you know, the person you most rely on, which you learn to rely on in the group, on your therapist, could not give us the guarantee when we're going to meet again, which brought up all the trauma. I thought it was pretty awful that something that is supposed to be stable, that's supposed to be your therapy, suddenly moved into a Zoom group. And I'm not pointing fingers at my therapist, but the system itself. I mean, I'm getting used to it now, but it's just like, where's the transition? So then I went through the NHS and I found a charity called Cove, C-O-V-E. And they give you a temporary, just 3 sessions. It was a charity where I was allowed to go and visit somebody in Wembley and have a cup of tea during the pandemic. Sit down in a kitchen and have a chat. Do you know how amazing that was? Those 3 sessions. And I thought, my God, I said to her, please, can I see you again? She says, you've only got 3 sessions with us and then that's it. And I'm just wondering also, sorry, I'm talking about myself, but I am generally also speaking for mental health people that already had severe mental health issues. And then the pandemic comes and there's no support network. How did they cope?
Oh, exactly. I mean, the thing is, I think a lot of people forget, well, of course, you know, the lockdowns and everything, they're essential because this pandemic's very serious. But for many people with mental health issues, that sudden change in routine, it's cataclysmic. It's hard for them to be able to adapt to these new routines, this sudden lack of being able to, you know, for example, like you, see your therapist and see these groups of people. And it's just... There's no more structure or order. Everything becomes chaos.
Absolutely. It was absolute chaos. And again, it brings back the thing that you've most struggled with in your life is chaos from childhood. So especially with borderline personality, you cannot change that. There's no medication for borderline personality disorder. So you have to have the therapy. It will always be therapy. Like for some people, it's the medication. And the therapy. For me, there will never be a medication to really deal, you know, with this kind of fear of abandonment. And it's exactly what happened. And I got through it and it made me stronger. But I got through it with a lot of hard work and I had to reach out for help. And I had to be very honest about my mental health to say to work, I can't cope. I can't cope. I need help. I feel exhausted. I'm scared. And, you know, HR was fantastic, offered me 4 sessions with a therapist in the park in Primrose Hill, which was weird. So let's move on to the dogs then, because there's so much to cover. What I read, the most important thing is walking with your dog. What does it physically do in your brain for all these conditions like anxiety, depression, OCD, borderline personality disorder, what did you mention, histrionic, emotional disorder, Asperger's, autism, all sorts of things. What happens when you walk your dog?
A lot of walking your dog is about the structure that it brings to your day. I think One of the things that's so underrated with mental health is having a sense of structure in your life and in your everyday. And your dog needs to be walked every day. I mean, that they need it. That's their happy time. That's their time to sniff around, to explore. And by ensuring that you have that daily structure, I mean, it brings you a sense of self-worth and validation where you're like, you know what? I may not have done the dishes today. I may not have made the bed, but I did take the dog for a walk and I have achieved that goal. But in addition to that, being outside in the fresh air, it's so good for your serotonin levels, which, you know, an imbalance of serotonin is a major cause of so many mental health conditions, you know, like depression. And it has been shown to decrease cortisol, which is the stress hormone, as well as increase your oxytocin levels, which you know, happiness, that's what that causes.
Yeah, so oxytocin is what we release, what mums and dads release, just a bonding. Is it the bonding hormone, if I may ask?
Yes, it is a bonding hormone. And it's been associated with feelings of sort of, you know, happiness and contentness, relaxation.
And the serotonin, what does it do exactly?
So serotonin is... It's a neurotransmitter, and it's one of the key hormones in the body that helps to stabilize our mood. So feelings of well-being, of happiness, and conditions like depression, we see an imbalance of this. So the lack of balance means that, you know, it contributes to low moods, to feelings of dread and self-doubt, but serotonin also helps with things like getting a good night's sleep, eating well, proper digestion, which is why with conditions like depression, you often see that lack of sleep, that messed up sleep cycle, not eating right, poor digestion, you know, upset stomach and things like that.
Absolutely. And serotonin is created in the stomach, I heard. So that's quite amazing that it's the stomach is connected to the brain. This is a new thing that they're researching, this gut-brain connection, especially in the health industry. It's fascinating. Everybody's going for probiotics to get a healthy gut, to produce serotonin, to feel better. But what happens? So when we go for a walk with our dogs, and then it obviously oxytocin. Isn't oxytocin when you touch the dog? Is that correct? When you start caressing a dog, or even just walking with your dog, releases oxytocin.
You definitely get a stronger burst when you're stroking your dog. You know, hugging your dog, when even co-sleeping with your dog. You know, when they snuggle up under the covers with you. Those are all fantastic for releasing oxytocin. But you do get some when you're walking as well because of that companionship where you're walking side by side, you're together.
And also what's interesting that with the cortisol, so your heart rate drops as you walk, right? And that seems to be also part that the cortisol, the stress levels drop, you breathe better, your heart rate is in balance. And I was going to ask you something. Do you believe that maybe if our heart rate drops that we affect also our dog's central nervous system? Is there a way, and this is what I'm trying to find out with Doga, is that when you release more serotonin, potentially your dog releases more serotonin? Are we interconnected? Do you think this is possible?
This is a great question. I love this because dogs and humans have such a fascinating relationship. I mean, the thing is, over tens of thousands of years, we've actually developed a symbiotic relationship with each other. That's what's incredible about dogs and humans. You know, all animals are great for mental health, but there's a special thing with dogs. And it's the fact that over time, as we've domesticated them, the symbiosis has taught us to rely on each other for different aspects in life. So, for example, because dogs often act as, you know, our watchdogs, they've been used as trackers, hunting dogs, guardians for children. the part of our brain that would normally respond to that has shrunk over time. In the same way that dogs no longer feel as though they need to sort of, you know, stay up all night, as though they need to defend themselves as much because they rely on us for protection now. And it's incredible. Quite amazing.
So we both shrunk our brains simultaneously through the relationship we have together.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Over time and evolution, our brains have shrunk in specific areas that relate to the symbiotic relationship that we have with dogs.
That is absolutely fascinating. It's incredible. I heard that they found the corpse of a human living in the Ice Age, and she was buried next to their dog. Is that true? About 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's been around 100,000 years, if not more, that we've been working alongside dogs and slowly domesticating them. But as a result, dogs are even able to read human body language. You know, completely without words, they can read us like another human would read, like humans would read each other. To the point that, you know, we could look at a piece of food across the room and a dog is able to follow our gaze to that food. Most domesticated animals don't have that same level of emotional awareness with humans, but dogs do.
It's incredible because when I want to brush Robbie's fur, I don't even have to go to the brush. He already goes under the bed the moment I do the movement towards the brush. How does he know that? How does he know what I'm going to do?
It's amazing. It's because of the way that they read us. They know this. They read our routines, our movements, and they learn to associate it with those specific things. Like my dog does the same. I go for the nail clippers and he's gone. He's under the table. He will not come out.
And you haven't even made the noise with the nail clippers. You've just put your attention onto something. So do you think they might read thoughts? Is that possible? Or can they see the brain?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's fascinating because just bringing Doga in, people think I teach something called dog yoga. And it's so misconstrued, the whole thing, because it's not. Doga is not dog yoga. Doga is yoga for you and your dog. And I always say, and your dog, as a separate thing. It's for you. And in the classes that I've been teaching the last 8 years, it's been fascinating to see the symbiosis. In actual fact, Doga really shows the relationship you have with your dog. It shows whether you have an over-attachment. Your dog becomes the mirror to you on the yoga mat, the way they interact with you or not interact with you, or they may move away. Or they may be super attached, so they want to sit on your lap and they don't want to move. and I always say a good relationship, a healthy relationship, what I see in Doga is the one that the dog is just kind of looping and having fun with the other dogs and interacting and barking and humping and jumping and weeing. And then he kind of settles a bit there, then he moves around and he might want to do a lift over there. So he can just move around and use the space freely with other dogs. I think that for me shows, and when the owner, you can see the owner who actually focuses on me and trusts themselves that this is a yoga class where they're focusing on me, not on their dog, but actually it's for them. And they know that their dog has a good time, but also they feel their move and they smell every move. So my belief is in Doga and yoga, the endocrine, the adrenal glands settle. The central nervous system replenishes, so the adrenals work differently. So you release a different stress hormone, a different hormone, and that they can sniff your calm. They can actually sniff it out. And through that, they feel more settled and reassured. So that's how they get their yoga from you. Do you understand what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can definitely sense our emotional state.
Emotions, smell, body language, as you mentioned, the body language. Everything. If you're in meditation, the dog is like, huh? And you can see they're like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And sometimes we do also, we breathe with them and then they start licking your face because you're doing the, which we can maybe try out later on, the breath of fire, which is a yogic breath. But actually what we're doing is imitating their breath, and they get very confused when we suddenly become like them. And people don't understand. You don't put the dog in a yoga pose. You are going into animal poses and you bring yourself onto the mat, onto the floor, on their level. What are your thoughts on this idea of doga? If you had heard of doga, would you have thought this is just lunacy or a trend?
I had heard of it before. And I think it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. I do often exercise in the house with my dogs, and it's usually a lot of fun, quite amusing as well. And I think it's a great way to deepen that connection with them. It's a new way to interact with them, have a bit of fun, and dogs just, you know, they love that. Any opportunity to spend more time with you, they love.
Absolutely. And you were saying a little bit about going out of the house and stuff is maybe a bit difficult. Would you feel safe to come into like a collective class, say we're in tier two and there's a yoga activity at a groomer's, for example? How would you feel about coming together with other people and other dogs? I'm just directly addressing this to you because you've been so open and honest about everything.
Honestly, I think a lot of I have so much anxiety with the pandemic and everything. I have tried to avoid spaces with other people. I think once things are more settled, perhaps, yes, back to something like tier two, I would feel comfortable being in a space with other people.
Because that also helps with mental health. Because the beauty is you have like-minded people that come to doga. And I've had people with severe anxiety come to the class saying to me, I am a bit anxious about my dog. And then I give them more attention or let them sit where they want to sit. You know, everybody's in their own space. And what I notice in the end is that the humans really connect with each other, oxytocin, on the oxytocin level, and they cannot come off the floor. They just want to go and have coffee together or something. They cannot come off the floor and the dogs are all snoozing. So you're not under pressure that your dog has to behave or you have to be good at anything. But in a neutral space that doesn't judge. The question now lies is, how would we bring this a little bit further forward? Not just in doga, but for research, have you ever thought like reaching out to a university, or have you done work with a university that may want to do more research in animal psychology and animal therapy and things like that? Have you ever thought about that?
I would love to see universities doing more research on it, because I think we're missing a huge thing here. I mean, I know that animal therapy has become a more common practice over recent years, where, you know, you have a therapy dog and places like retirement homes or universities or schools, but I don't think that it's utilized nearly as much as it could be or even should be, because animals are just incredible. And I mean, it doesn't have to be dogs. Cats are an amazing therapy. Horses are, you know, on another level. My mother and sister both own horses, and you know, the bond they have with them is exceptional. And I think that we should be more open to the concept that perhaps sometimes animals are the best form of therapy for us.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. Especially with children. I would say with children that are not yet able to express an emotion or understand their emotion, that they can talk about the cat, or they can talk about the dog, how they feel. You know, you can associate with the dog and then use the dog or the cat or the squirrel or hamster to talk about them and then sort of deflect, you know. So there's so much more. And what does it need? What do you think we need to get this going, to dig deeper? Is it funding? Is there not enough funding? Is there no interest? Or what do you think?
I think that a lot of it definitely comes down to funding, as with so much of the mental health sector. I mean, that's a whole other argument I could get into there, the lack of funding for mental health. But, you know, in addition to the funding, it's people taking things seriously. I mean, if you were to suggest animal therapy for, you know, a person with a broken leg, you know, it would probably be cheered, you know, celebrated, immediate funding for that. But because it's for something that you can't necessarily see, something that you're battling with, you know, inside, it's a lot of it comes down to the stigma surrounding mental health, you know, people making jokes about it, you know, people mocking the fact that you would need an animal for emotional support and, you know, to help calm your emotions.
And yet, thanks to COVID, I think we're getting a voice. I really think it's growing in collectivity. People are recognizing it. I hope people will open up a lot more about how they feel. I think there's a huge platform there, huge platform to start talking about, yes, I need my dog to feel better. Yes, my dog is my child. I take care of it. He takes care of me. Without my dog, I might not be here. And be honest about it. Be really truthful and transparent, I think. I think now's the time.
I would love to see people being more open because, you know, my dog is my child. I have no interest in human children. my dog is my child. Both of them are my children. I say as the other one comes running to me. But, you know, they are just as important. And in some ways, they are more important to people. You know,
absolutely.
They're an essential part of our family and our lives.
And, you know, Ollie Ollerton, the interview I did with SAS, Who Dares Wins, this very well-known celebrity has spoken very open about mental health issues and that his dog Murphy gives him that security. And he's one of those celebrities that are starting to open up about post-traumatic stress disorder and everything. So I think it is addressed a lot more. It could be more, and there will be more to come, I think.
Hiya, we're here to tell you about the Loose Lips podcast. We, being me, Georgie Porter,
and me, Sharon Carpenter, we're all about honesty and not holding back, especially when it comes to what's in the news.
Plus, we answer your questions and we give you advice whenever it's asked for.
Even when it's not asked for, we're all about what you're really thinking and what you really want to know.
You can expect to hear some of this.
I have to say, come on, people, we're getting a little too sensitive here.
And also some of this.
She is plugging her entire career in that one moment.
That's the Loose Lips podcast, out every Tuesday, and not forgetting Extra Lippy on Fridays.
Find it wherever you found this podcast. We'll see you there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can I just have both of your dogs' names, please?
Well, the oldest one is Moose, And then the youngest one is Pumpkin.
Pumpkin and Moose. And are they sitting next to you at the moment? Or where are they sitting?
They are sitting on me at the moment.
On you? So are you sitting in a chair? Are you sitting in a chair or are you lying down? Or
I'm sitting at my desk. Moose kind of slid up.
So wait a second. So they're on top of you and you're sitting at a desk at the same time. Wow. Don't move. All you need to do is sit up straight. And we're going to do a little meditation now. So if you can just find yourself in your position where you are, maybe try and lift the spine a little bit, you know, so you can lean your spine against the wall. You can hear the music coming in now. And one of the most important things here is to recognize with mental health is that we don't breathe consciously when things get difficult. We tend to hyperventilate, hold the breath, and it makes such a difference if we can bring our mind onto the breath here. So this is a really helpful thing. In yoga, the breath is through the nose, and we're going to do something really nice today. It might sound a bit awkward to listeners, but this is it's one of my favorites. So what you can do is place both hands on your dogs. Just rest the palms of your hands on your dog. And just listen to my voice. Slowly settle the body, settle the feet into the ground. Just allow the body to sink into the ground. Allow gravity to hold you. And then we're going to close our lips and slowly breathe in through both nostrils. Slowly breathing in. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. Two, two, three, four, five. And the breath sounds like this. Oh, they're barking because of the breath. Yes, that's normal. Just keep going. The barks are completely normal. Yeah, they get very curious when you change the breath. You can make the breath quite loud and exaggerate it. If they come and lick your nose, it's normal. Slowly, yeah. Inhaling. Very nice. Draw the breath up into your lungs as high up as you can. Maybe at the top of the inhale, just hold the inhale. This is great. And exhale all the way out through the nose. And then just after you've exhaled, wait a second before you inhale. And as you inhale, draw the breath up higher into your rib cage, into the sternum, and then hold, exhale. All the way out, and then on the end of the exhale, maybe hold a tiny bit. Oh, this is great. And then inhale. Exhale. I love the background noise. This is so good. We have to chant Om. Oh, this is great. Right. I'm gonna ask you to chant Om with me because I really want your dog to join in. We're going to do a little Om sound. So just follow my voice. Deep breath, inhale. Very good. Keep going. Inhale. Oh. keep going. This is fine. Yes, keep going. One more. Inhale. Very good. Now go back to the breath. Inhale through your nose. Keep going. Exhale through the nose. You see it changes again. Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the nose.
Oh, they're staring, watching me.
Okay, because of your breathing, that is phenomenal work. Keep going. Let's go very slow because I'm going to give you one more thing to do. Inhale. Just literally breathing to your dogs now, consciously. Don't worry what they're looking at you, how distracted they are. This is all new to them. Slowly inhale. Slowly exhale. Okay, so the last part, and this will be the icing of the cake. You can use this left nostril breathing anytime you are anxious. I do it in the plane usually when I have panic attacks. So with your right thumb, you're going to close your right nostril. Yeah? And you're going to keep your lips closed and just breathe into your left nostril. Now, this is going to sound terrible to this listeners because I've got a blocked nose. Breathe into your left nostril. And then exhale through the left nostril. Inhale through the left nostril. Exhale through the left nostril. Now breathe into your dogs and breathe into your nostril at the same time. Exhale, very good. Inhale. Exhale. You should start feeling lighter in your mind. Inhale. Exhale. Really drink the breath. Inhale. Feel your lungs expanding on the inhale. Really feel that space and that residue that you're giving yourself now. Exhale. Go to the end of the exhalation. Really squeeze it out. Inhale. Exhale. And as you start getting softer in your mind, if your dog is still there, you can still place the palm of your hands on your dog and just keep that very relaxed state. Drawing the breath in. And out. And the more relaxed you become, you can start massaging your dog with the other hand. Just wherever they want to be touched. Still using the breath though. Left nostril breathing. This breath really brings the parasympathetic central nervous system into activity. Sleep, digestion, anxiety, all of this is being regulated. let's take two more before we close. Inhale. Exhale. And one more inhale. Exhale. And the final one is inhale to the left. Now close your left nostril and just exhale through the right. And now release the palms on the side and just breathe through your nose, deep breathing. Relaxing your shoulders, completely release, inhale. Exhale, it should feel that you can take more breath into your body now. It's easier. Really nice. And then we bring the palms of our hands into the heart center. And just thinking of your dogs, we're going to chant for our Dogini one more time with gratitude. Just sending gratitude, light and love. Inhale. Shanti, shanti, shanti. And just bow your head to your Dogini. Let him lick your face. Kiss your dog. Love him, kiss him. Let him know that he's the most important thing. Wow, amazing. Adrienne, I wanted to say Namapaw to you. And Namapo to your dog. And I want to say, really from the bottom of my heart, that I wish you so much strength and perseverance in your journey with writing your blogs and educating people. And that all of it is worth something. And it wasn't for nothing. That everything that you carry, all the struggles, you are touching other people. And you're not alone. Okay, you're not alone in this, and this is the most important thing. You've touched people's hearts today, and you've helped us so much, and we are very grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. It's been so wonderful to be here today, and I wish you so much happiness. This is such an amazing opportunity.
It's wonderful to connect. And I love your dogs. I wish you could send some pictures in because I really want to see a picture of both of your dogs. They are really attached to you. I can feel it. Like I can feel them. They read you in every way. And I hope to see you at Doga at some point as well. So,
oh, I'd love to.
Yes. Keep writing. Keep us informed. Send information in. Thank you so much. Adrienne Hardwick, thank you so much, and to your doggies as well for Doga. Namapaw.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.